Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Here we go. Hour 2 of Monday. First hour just flew by. Live in Los Angeles, it's the Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, Fox Sports Radio, iHeartRadio, FS1. So this is going to be very interesting. For the first time in a long time, the NFL cap is coming down. Pandemic, business, it's coming down. Meaning a lot of really, really good football players are going to be on the market. So if you've got cap space, I mean, this is a fascinating one. And this is a really good move by Seattle. This just came out. Joy Taylor joining me. Seattle released Carlos Dunlap. Very nice player, but it saves Seattle $14 million on the cap. And over the last couple of years at least, Seattle has drafted some young defensive ends and pass rushers, but last year they weren't ready to contribute. So Seattle went out in a really smart move and got Carlos Dunlap for nothing. He was just expensive. He wanted out of Cincinnati. So while those young pass rushers like LJ Collier are developing and they're not ready yet, you get Carlos Dunlap expensive for 1 year, and then Seattle just released him. Now, he's a really nice player. I don't know if he's worth that kind of money. So Seattle saves $14 million on the cap, and then they hope they're young. They drafted a kid, if I recall, out of Tennessee, LJ Collier. There's somebody else maybe out of Syracuse. I forget the names. Pete likes pass rushers. They just weren't ready to contribute last year. One was injured. LJ Collier was a bit injured and a little bit of a late bloomer. So Seattle, this very smart move, totally understood. You're going to see this all over the NFL.
A lot of teams have planned for the salary cap to go up this year. So someone like Dallas is in a lot of trouble because they signed a lot of players with the anticipation of it going up, and now it's going down. So teams that have a lot of cap space are going to be able to make moves that they otherwise... Like, they're not going to have access to these players if this wasn't happening.
And by the way, the Jets, who have a lot of need, they have a need at every position. If you go get a Carlos Dunlap, they have a ton of cap space. You don't have to get an edge rusher because the Jets have a good interior defensive line. They need an edge rusher. And it's not a great year for edge rushers in college this year. So you can get good backs and good wide receivers and you can upgrade your – it's a great year for offensive linemen and wide receiver. The Jets need that. But there you go. So that's the first move. Carlos Dunlap released by Seattle. Nice player, but they save a boatload on cap space. Where Colin was right, Colin was wrong. Brought to you by Jersey Mike Sub. It's their month of giving. They raise money for over 200 charities across America. You can help by visiting the local store. To learn more, visit jerseymikes.com. Jersey Mike's, be a sub above. Colin right, Colin wrong. Here we go.
Where Colin was right.
Always been a massive fan of Steph Curry. Never understood the disrespect. And yet yesterday, among the world's best basketball players, he basically won the All-Star game for LeBron's team and, oh yeah, won the three-point shooting contest. I mean, if you'd asked NBA players 3 years ago, Westbrook or Steph, they would have taken Westbrook, and I've never for the life of me understood that. He's the best shooter ever, the best ball handler ever, one of the great teammates ever, super high basketball IQ, and I loved that little Mr. Steph Curry in the world's most talented basketball game basically took it over and decides it. Not LeBron, you know, not Harden, not all the great players. No, Steph Curry decides the game.
Where Colin was wrong.
I said Tom Brady had never seen an alien on Twitter last week. I said it on the show, and Brady came out on Twitter and called me out and said, "How do you know I've never seen an alien?" Got to be honest. He won a Super Bowl at 43 and eats avocado ice cream. Brady probably is an alien. But I was wrong on this. I suggested Tom had never seen a UFO, and Brady called me out. Hurt, not going to lie.
Where Colin was right.
Lifestyle. Yes, lifestyle, not just winning, played a huge role in J.J. Watt signing with Arizona. At his press conference, he admitted weather was an issue. Training's an issue in Arizona. So Buffalo finished second to Arizona. Buffalo has the better head coach. Buffalo has the much better roster. Buffalo is a Super Bowl team. Arizona's not. But regardless of tax rates and other obstacles, players with options like J.J. Watt increasingly, they want to go to California. They want to go to Arizona. They want to go to warm weather. And I don't have a problem with any of it.
Where Colin was wrong.
Now, I did think J.J. Watt felt like a great fit in a semi-lock to the Packers. and he was not in the top two. This surprised me. He's from Wisconsin. He admitted a couple years ago that even playing a preseason game against the Packers was a dream come true. I do think Green Bay, if you look at the way the world's working, outside of quarterback, doesn't everybody need a good pass rusher? Isn't that like number two on everybody's want list? So I was surprised. JJ, they were not. Packers were not in his top two.
Where Colin was right.
Never been a Blake Griffin guy, and Detroit released him. No playoff wins. He played more than 25 games exactly once. Listen, he is a great athlete. I've never felt he's a fluid basketball player. I always thought in the Chris Paul, Blake Griffin finger-pointing escapades in L.A., Chris Paul was the much better basketball player, made people better, was the better leader. Now, Chris can be a pain. Chris is hard on guys. But Blake Griffin to Detroit didn't do a thing. He was rarely healthy, couldn't win a playoff game, and now he goes to Brooklyn where three guys will carry him.
Where Colin was wrong.
I never thought Seattle would even consider trading Russell Wilson. A report last week, they're officially taking calls. 9 years, eight playoff appearances. It blows my mind. It blows my mind. Now, I still contend Russell Wilson starts for the Seahawks second week of September. And I think these guys, listen, they're both super talented, the coach and the quarterback. But the fact they are taking calls is mind-blowing. To me, I'm sorry, but Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, Patrick Mahomes should never hit the market. Sorry, it shouldn't, ever.
Make it work.
Make it work. Just deal with it. Make it work. This is stupid. I don't care if you don't get along. You have to get along with everybody. Brady and Belichick didn't have dinner in 20 years. Make it work.
Where Colin was right.
The Dak deal, still not done. 30 hours until the franchise tag deadline. Listen, I have respect for all the reporters in Dallas, but I kept saying this. Listen, when Jerry Jones wants stuff done, he has a history. He gets stuff done. I've been hearing this for 2 years now. I don't think Dak getting a franchise deal tag is a bad deal for Dak at all. I mean, that means $69 million for 2 years. I went to his Twitter account yesterday. That guy's got more ads and endorsements. Dak is, if he gets franchise tag, he'll be over $100 million in earnings, endorsements in football, 4 years in the league, in a state with no state tax. So I'm happy for Dak. But I've never bought into this. Well, it's just a matter of time. We all know he's going to get a long-term contract. And my takeaway is I've never bought into it. Listen, if he wants Mahomes money, you get the pushback. Like, I get it. I mean, I'd rather sign him to a 4-year deal and manipulate the cap than pay a fortune for a franchise tag, because then the following year you're going to have to pay him like 50. But it doesn't look like he's going to get a deal.
Where Colin was wrong.
Well, super talented, but a little goofy and a little silly, Joel Embiid right now is the favorite to win the MVP. And I've been trying to trade him for years. For the record, I was told Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons flew separately down to the All-Star game in Atlanta. They refused to share a private jet. They still don't get along. I don't like them on the court together. But I will say this about Joel Embiid. I will say it. They're 1-5 when he doesn't play. He's the closest thing to Shaq I've seen in terms of just skill. And they're 23-7 when he does play. And, you know, my theory was always move Embiid. He's been hurt. He's a big. They never get healthier. Keep Simmons and surround him with three-point shooters. But Ben Simmons is a total enigma. I know he's a great defender. I was talking to my buddy Ryan Russillo yesterday at breakfast, and he said in that game against Utah, remember when Philadelphia played Utah? Like the finals, the game went to overtime. Simmons didn't even take a shot. Overtime, last 6-7 minutes of the fourth, like, Embiid, for all his goofiness, delivers. He is the horse. They ride him, and they're 23-7 when he starts, and that's the best record in the East, and I'm wrong.
Where Colin was right?
Well, last week, Broussard and I, Chris Broussard, had an all-star draft. Isn't that interesting? My team was essentially the exact same team LeBron chose. Me and LeBron, a couple of basketball geniuses, crushed Broussard and Kevin Durant's team. Poor Chris Broussard did not stand a chance. LeBron, Steph Curry. I mean, LeBron barely even played. Kawhi Leonard, feels good. Just put Broussard just back in his place. A little bit.
Where Colin was wrong.
Kevin Stefanski, head coach at Cleveland, over the weekend said it again. We're going to keep Odell Beckham Jr. I find it fascinating because that means Odell Beckham and Jarvis Landry will take up 15% of Cleveland's cap. That's a lot for a team that needs a ton of help on the back end of their defense. They just keep selling me they're keeping him. I'll make a bet here. For a big pan of tiramisu with anybody on the staff, they're going to play OBJ in the first 6 weeks. He doesn't have a ton of trade value now because he's off an injury. They're going to play him for about 6 or 7 weeks. Then they'll elevate his trade value and move him. Cleveland's got too many issues in the back seven. Jarvis Landry's great. Jarvis Landry's a one in this league. He's not the flashiest one, but he's a low-end one receiver. You can draft a two and a three.
Where Colin was right.
You know, I never bought into Russell Westbrook's triple-double. I always said it was a gimmick. I always said, so if he averaged 9 rebounds, not 10, would he win the MVP? Well, so far this year, he's having another great year. 20 points, 9.7 rebounds, 9.8 assists. Didn't even make the Eastern All-Star team. That thing was, he was goosing his rebound. I always said, if you want to make him the MVP, because he's carrying his team to the playoffs, I don't have a problem. But giving a guy an MVP on a triple-double when he's goosing certain stats, Carmelo Anthony later admitted, yeah, we wanted to get him 10 rebounds. So now he's like 0.2 and 0.3 away from a triple-double. He doesn't make the Eastern All-Star team? Doesn't even make the team? Always a gimmick. Super talented, but that was a gimmick MVP. All right, Rick Bucher is going to join us next. Some NBA thoughts. Carlos Dunlap has been released by the Seattle Seahawks, which makes total sense. Gives them $15 million or almost $15 million in cap space as their young pass rushers develop and are ready to play. So you're gonna see a lot. I mean, like in the recent history of the NFL, there's going to be so many good players over the next 3 weeks that get released. They're going to be like borderline Pro Bowl guys because the cap's coming down, and a lot of these teams are in a position they thought the cap was going to go up. So Carlos Dunlap, good player, good guy, excellent for Seattle, on the market.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Universal Champion Roman Reigns and Daniel Bryan are on a collision course to Fastlane with the Ultimate Opportunist Edge ready to take advantage on the road to WrestleMania. It's an all-new Friday Night SmackDown, live at 8 Eastern on Fox.
NBA All-Star Game yesterday, halfway point of the NBA season. Rick Bucher, Fox Sports NBA analyst, now is joining us, been covering the NBA for over 25 years. So, I mean, I couldn't have been happier that Steph Curry, who's been kind of out of our consciousness for a couple years, wasn't in the bubble. Golden State's in a rebuild when Klay got hurt. He shows up and basically owns the weekend. You've been covering this guy for years and years. And I've said before is that whenever we start listing great players, it just always feels like Steph is just not quite put in that class. And I always argue he's the best shooter of my life. He's the best ball handler of my life. He's probably the lowest maintenance superstar in my life. And I just love the fact that he walked back into our consciousness and dominated the weekend. And I was like, yeah, that's who he is. Like, you've covered him. You ever surprised by stuff he does?
Oh, I'm surprised all the time. I mean, just his pregame routine and some of the places that he takes shots from just messing around. At the end, after the shot clock has gone off and he decides to flip the ball 40 feet in the air and it comes back down and hits nothing but net. I mean, there's a subtlety to what makes Steph Curry special. He's not, even with the smaller guys like an Allen Iverson, just incredibly fast. There was just something even a small dynamic about him. Steph's is all about the skill. There's still a subtlety to what he does. He doesn't look like he's dominating, and yet his skills and his abilities, he's Steve Nash supersized in terms of what he's able to do. Steve Nash was the same way. People didn't think he was athletic, and yet his hand-eye coordination, his shooting, his basketball IQ, those are all the things that Steph has. But I will say, you are overlooking that he had a pretty good cohort with him in Damian Lillard, who was basically doing the same thing. And I think this is also part of why there's pushback on Steph, because he's a good guy, because he's an entertainer, because there's just a unique joy about how he plays the game, that he gets a lot of attention. And people are like, whoa, 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 does he really deserve all of that attention? And if I'm in the Damian Lillard camp, and I'm not in either one, I would be saying, hey, look, Damian Lillard closed the game. Damian Lillard shot 8 for 16. Damian Lillard outscored Steph. And yet what I'm hearing on shows like Colin Cowherd's today is that this was the Steph Curry show. Like, what, can we get just a little bit of balance here? It's either you don't think he's a superstar or you think he's the greatest thing that's ever happened to basketball.
No, I like Dame. I don't want to be a Dame hater. Blake Griffin with the Nets. First of all,
speaking of guys that you're hating on,
I'm not a Blake Griffin guy. He's a great athlete. I was always a Chris Paul over Blake Griffin with the Clippers. I would argue with my friends all the time. I'm like, one's a winning basketball player, one's a great athlete. There's a massive difference. One's a top five point guard ever. One's a wing guy that I still don't trust to hit a big shot or a big free throw in a big game. I'm not denying his talent. He went to Detroit. He was never healthy. Couldn't elevate him to a playoff win. I mean, what is he for Brooklyn?
Okay. First of all, he was never healthy in Detroit. He dragged them into the playoffs. And yes, they got swept in the first round by Milwaukee, but that was probably as competitive a series as you could have for a sweep. And Blake was not healthy. I think what he demonstrated there, first of all, you go from L.A. to Detroit and you do it happily and you embrace the challenge and you drag the, he's basically sacrificed his body in Detroit to get them to the postseason. And there's plenty of guys who go, why would I possibly do that just to get Detroit to the playoffs? So I'm not going to knock him on that. The fact of the matter is he is no longer an athlete, not in the sense that you're talking about. His strengths are that range and being able to shoot. Still his strength in terms of being able to defend bigger players and then take them out to the perimeter at the other end. Passing has always been underrated, and his basketball IQ. And maybe this is wishful thinking on my part, but I believe that he's going to get a chance to demonstrate those other elements. I've compared him to Jason Kidd, not the first Dallas iteration, but the second Dallas iteration, when he went back and he was no longer an athlete. He was an orchestrator. He was a three-point shooter. That's kind of the mode that Blake Griffin is in now. And I would expect that he's going to play the five in their small ball lineup. It'll be Jeff Green and Blake Griffin holding that down. Is he better than Jeff Green at this point? I don't know. Possibly not. Can he give them some moments, some games in the postseason? I believe that's what they're counting on. But I've been told by people inside the organization, he is going to play. This isn't just a vanity addition of a big name, that they are genuinely hoping that he is going to be able to contribute.
So LeBron, the second chapter on LeBron's legacy, the first chapter, he's great. Second chapter is he just plays forever. He never gets hurt and he plays.
Right.
But he played 13 minutes in the All-Star game. He took a game off a couple nights ago. He does look a little weathered, and LeBron would never state this. It's not his thing. Right. He always says the right thing. But I go back to it. Once again, this was going to be Anthony Davis's year. It does look like at times LeBron realizes he's not 27 anymore, right?
Yeah. No, 100%. I mean, he's been trying to manage his energy throughout this season so far, and the plan was never for him to play as many minutes or not to take any games off sooner than he did. It was simply they had no choice. It was by necessity because AD's been out, Dennis Schroeder was out, and they did have to maintain some sort of rhythm and winning a few games here and there. The All-Star game to me was where LeBron's age became more evident than ever, just in comparison to everybody else. And yeah, we got a couple of having hitting a couple dunks, and he's shrewd and he's smart. He knew a way to kind of look like he was part of it. But I think one of the reasons why he benched himself was because you got these guys just firing threes from everywhere. He's a confident shooter when it comes to three. He missed his first one or two, and he's like, okay, this ain't my day there. And then you got Giannis just crushing everything on the inside. He's like, yeah, I'm not like that. And I don't want to look like DeMontis Sabonis, who looks completely like a fish out of water in this game. So you know what? Let me get a dunk or two, and then I'm just going to let my team roll, and I'll save my energy for the end of the season. But the difference in athleticism between LeBron and the rest of those young guns, and the way the game is played now, what makes it exciting, which is the three-point shot, it was as definitive and as stark as I've seen. I think he's done a good job of hiding it or minimizing it up to this point. But the All-Star game was like, wow, these guys are 6, 7, 8 years younger than he is, or they have a skill set that's more attuned to the way the game is being played right now.
Yeah. Finally, I think the All-Star game, I think they did a good job on it. I think the Pro Bowl's unwatchable. I actually like the dunk contest was kind of quirky. But overall, I thought it was a pretty good. I mean, I sat and watched it for a couple hours. I like the thing they do at the end of the game where they have a score target and they just, you hit 170. Okay, game's over. Let's go home. I kind of like it. They got a bunch of quirky stuff. I think it works. I mean, it's an All-Star game. It doesn't count, so let's make it a little quirky. What's your takeaway on the whole event?
Yeah, look, I like the quarter by quarter. I think it maintains a certain competitive edge. The adding 24 at the end makes it interesting. I mean, the bottom line is that the All-Star weekend to me was reflective of where the game has gone, and that it was all about three-point shooting. More than 60% of the shots in the game were three-pointers. Giannis didn't miss a shot, and yet it was all Steph Curry and Damian Lillard and who's going to knock down the next three from 45 feet. They've added elements to the three-point shooting contest. The three-point shooting contest was far and away the most entertaining and competitive event of the weekend. Now, my question is that, is this going to be what wins the championship this year? Is it going to be three-point shooting? Is it going to be three-point shooting from 35 feet? Like, generally, it goes back to defense. It goes back to principles. But this has been a weird year, and I just wonder whether this is a reflection. The All-Star game and All-Star weekend is a reflection that the NBA is pivoting toward, we're just going to run up and down, and we're going to be hoisting 30-footers. And whoever makes the most 30-footers wins. Because this is the other part with Steph in his rise, is that the game is not physical at all anymore. When I got guys begging for foul calls in the All-Star game, I know that this league has gotten incredibly soft.
Rick Bucher joining us. Good talking to you, bud. Thanks.
You got it.
Yeah, you know, it is interesting. Optically and analytically, football is kind of the same. They got rid of huddles a few years ago. Some teams are back to huddles. But the NFL, I mean, it largely looks the same. You still need a good defense, a running game. It's all about getting a quarterback and protecting him. I think football, it looks a lot like it's always looked to me. Baseball doesn't. I grew up with I read a story the other day. There were something like 8,000 fewer hits in a season than there was like in 2011. Like, there's not as many hits. It's all home runs and strikeouts. It used to be you didn't want to strike out. Now what you don't want is a ground ball. So analytics, baseball looks different. There's less activity. That's not disputable. Basketball looks different optically. It's just a bunch of three-point shots. So it's interesting. We got one sport, the NFL, which is it. I know there's been changes. You can't hit guys certain places, but it looks the same to me. I mean, over the last 10 years, it doesn't look drastically different. Still get a quarterback. Protect your quarterback and get guys who can get their quarterback and don't turn the ball over much. That wins your Super Bowls. But basketball is going through, to Rick's point, it's going through a little bit of a weird transformation. The stuff that mattered 10 years ago, like rebounding, possessions, defense, it's just who hits more threes. That's the sport now. Joy with the news.
No. Turn on the news. News.
This is the Herdline News.
The Bears are looking at all their options for the quarterback position next season. Russell Wilson's agent said that Chicago is one of the places he would accept a trade to because he has a no-trade clause in his contract. And the team is very open to that move. The Bears' top priority this offseason when it comes to the quarterback position is reportedly to make a trade for Russ.
I don't get how they would do it, though. They have a lousy draft pick, and they don't have a quarterback to give them. It seems to me, could be totally wrong here, you'd have to get a third team involved. I just don't know how they do. Like, if you went, you know, you circumvent it and you kind of figure out who's got a quarterback they would like and you find a way. I don't see the Bears. I think it would be great. I would love to see it. I think a historic franchise and Russell Wilson, I am here for it.
I'd love to see any of the moves that he listed as possible moves. Vegas, the Saints, Dallas, or Chicago would be incredibly interesting. I can't get over the idea that this is even a conversation.
It's so stupid.
How do you take a phone call on Russell Wilson? For what? Like, for what? You have the guy. He's the guy.
It's hard to find the guy. You get the guy. Now you want to let the guy go.
I think this all comes down to egos. I don't know what Chicago would have to put together, to your point, to get Russell Wilson, because I'm imagining that they're starting the price at three first rounders plus a capable quarterback right now.
Well, Seattle and Chicago, neither one have a top 15 draft pick. So
future draft picks, if you get first rounders from them, are not going to be high draft picks because you're assuming that Russell Wilson is going to make them better.
And Pete's 70. You want to start over again? You want to go try to find the next Russell Wilson?
I don't. There is no next Russell Wilson. I think teams get greedy and then they get conceited in the idea that they can just develop the next guy. It's similar to what's going on in New England. Like, maybe they'll get Jimmy G, but who feels good about Jimmy G right now? There's a reason why Jimmy G his name keeps popping up in all these conversations, because he's not reliable.
Well, I remember 30 years ago having a conversation with somebody, and he's like, what allows you to succeed in America is our infrastructure, bridges, roads. And I'm like, what do you mean? He said, if you grow up in an undeveloped country, you could be this, you could be smarter than you are now. You'd have trouble getting to a workplace. Like, in an undeveloped country, getting a second vaccine shot is a massive challenge. Let's talk about the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, a one-shot vaccine.
Right.
In an underdeveloped country, it's easy to store. And it said, so the point was, this person said, never take for granted the country you live in. Because you can succeed if you're just ambitious in America. You don't have to worry about transportation, roads, getting food. And it's sort of like, similarly with Russell Wilson. So you have Russell Wilson, and you just forget how easy winning is. Because, like, he's good at the line, your bad offensive line play. Oh, he just escaped sacks. So this happens in America when you succeed and you forget the reason. Everybody gets arrogant when they succeed, and we're all lucky to be in America because our infrastructure is solid. You start forgetting all the plays in New England that Tom Brady audibled out of, that Belichick never had to deal with crap because Brady audibled out of them. And how many plays have been poorly designed in Seattle and Russ runs out of a sack? You just, when you get successful, you forget the base, the infrastructure, which allows you to be successful.
Well, they're just a little spoiled.
And yeah, a little.
I mean, you had Mel Kiper's list of guys up, and we talked about some Hall of Famers that struggled for a very long time to win a Super Bowl. It's not that easy to win in the NFL. They get spoiled. Like, teams that are consistently great start to think, well, you know what? We are really great. Maybe it's me. Maybe we could do this with anybody. Think about the conversation that we were hearing out of New England. We could do this with anyone. Can you?
By the way, Mahomes went back to the Super Bowl this year and got rolled with a great coach.
And he is the consensus best quarterback in the league right now.
Yeah, got destroyed by Brady. Like, the idea, you forget. You win a Super Bowl. Dan Marino got to one early. He never got back.
It's very hard to win Super Bowls. I don't know how you just make it work with Russell Wilson. Figure it out. So the Eagles traded away Carson Wentz, paving the way for Jalen Hurts to step up as the starter next season. And owner Jeffrey Lurie is planning on Hurts getting the job. He was reportedly told the Eagles personnel department to prioritize getting Hurts help so he can be successful instead of bringing in more quarterback competition. I'd love to hear this. This is great news to me. I know a lot of people are still very unsure about Jalen Hurts, but you drafted him pretty high and you got rid of Carson Wentz, who was, again, your guy that you paid and was, you know, won this fandom MVP that everyone keeps talking about. Why wouldn't you build around Jalen Hurts? Quarterback competitions are not a good thing. That's not a good thing.
No.
People try to pitch it every single year. We're going into camp and the best guy will win. Well, the best guy can't be that good if you are setting up a quarterback competition for that position.
Even in college, when a good program brings in two quarterbacks, one always transfers like a year later. Like, quarterback's the only position where, well, this is my team.
Yeah.
So if you're going to draft a guy in the second round and you had to fire your coach and trade your star quarterback because of it, how do you not give him a year, 16 games, because your O-line gets healthier now? This is the only move to make. And by the way, I've said this before, I don't think he's a great thrower of the football, but different. History proves Kaepernick got to a Super Bowl. Lamar was the MVP. Different works in the NFL. Tebow couldn't throw the ball. He won seven straight games, got to a playoff game. The question is, does different work long term? Now it's hit and miss on that. But different styles almost always work.
Kyler Murray looks completely different than Lamar Jackson, looks completely different than Baker Mayfield. You don't have to have a box that a quarterback fits in anymore. I agree with you. I think it's nonsense to draft another quarterback with that pick. Draft a great player, build around him, and give him a year. It was complete dysfunction last year. So start new, give him an opportunity, and draft good players. Bringing in another quarterback makes no sense to me.
Yeah.
So Anthony Simons won the dunk contest last night, edging out rookies Obi Toppin and Cassius Stanley. He nearly kissed the rim on his last dunk. No kissing the rim during COVID. Sealed the victory with a 3-2 vote on the judges' final rounds. And he became the first member of the Trailblazers to ever win the
event.
Look at
this. Good Lord.
It's really ridiculous. Ridiculous how high he got out there. But I did like Obi's dunk over Julius Randle and his dad.
I don't understand this.
I knew they weren't going to give it to him because Obi kind of touched Julius as he was jumping over. He's 6'8".
So you jump over 2 6'8" men, tomahawk it, and everybody was like, I've seen it before. I'm like, does everybody understand? Like, our standards now.
Oh, yeah, they're getting a little out of control.
Like, it's still amazing we get to Mars. We don't have to have a hotel on Mars next week to think we're doing innovative things. Obi Toppin jumps over 2 6'8" guys and tomahawked it, and everybody was just, I mean, look at these dunks.
Yeah, we're a little spoiled.
A little?
Look
at this.
See,
he jumps.
Because he used his shoulder, I think that they.
Oh, yeah.
And knocked it for that. I don't know. Dunk contest is obviously all just opinion based, but I didn't think Anthony didn't deserve it. He was incredible, but.
This is insane.
I thought that was more impressive than they gave him credit for. I don't know. Maybe just me and I'm 5'2", but.
Listen, basketball's artistry to a large degree. I thought you saw a ton of it this weekend.
Yeah, I didn't have high expectations for the dunk contest. They're doing it at halftime. There's not as many guys participating in it. They didn't have as much time to set things up. And it's, you know, it's young guys that most of the casual fans are getting to know still. So I thought it was entertaining. I thought the NBA did a great job with the whole night, considering that they're, you know, we're making all of this happen during a pandemic. And I thought the whole night was really fun.
Yeah, I watched all of it. I thought it was entertaining. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
We'll give you the latest breaking NFL stuff. There's going to be a lot of good players that hit the market, and we'll talk about that next.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sportsbook, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
With dozens of comfort innovations, once you've tried Tommy John underwear, you won't go back. Right now, 20% off. 20% off your first order. See site for details. TommyJohn.com/herd. TommyJohn.com/HERD. So there's going to be a lot of movement in the NFL. Carlos Dunlap was released by Seattle. It saved him $14 million on cap space. Their young defensive ends now and pass rushers are going to be more ready to play after a camp preseason. And Dunlap came in. They gave up nothing for him. They got him for a year for a playoff run. He delivered. Good guy, good player. Seattle moves off. It makes total sense. Smart move. He'll be out there. Cleveland said this weekend Odell Beckham is part of their future plans. I think they say that. I think they'd like to build up OBJ's market value because he's off an injury and he doesn't have much value. But this is interesting. Adam Schefter reporting that Odell Beckham to Tampa Bay and Brady is challenging, but Tom Brady wants him. Now, this is actually an interesting fit for two reasons. First of all, Brady's got a lot of power in the building, and he has a surplus of weapons. So Cleveland has a great receiver, Jarvis Landry, who's a lower-end one of the best two in the league. So if they let go of OBJ, they would need a receiver in return. Well, yeah, but that's because Tampa's loaded. I was writing this down. This makes sense. So Odell Beckham would want this, and Brady would want this. So you know the players want it. So right now, according to a report, Tampa's going to franchise tag Chris Godwin. They've got $19 million in cap space, so they got some money. Brady's going to rework his deal, maybe to get him 22, 23. So they've got Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, Scotty Miller, A.B., Gronk, Cameron Brate, O.J. Howard, Ronald Jones, the running back, and they have a young receiver named Tyler Johnson, who's more of a three. He's not a burner. He's got good hands. He made that great catch against Green Bay. Only had about 12, 15 catches. He's never going to be a one, probably not a two, but a good three out of Minnesota. So he's got nine weapons. I mean, just think about that. Look what New England has now. Brady's like taunting New England. He is taunting them. But this makes sense because Cleveland, if they got rid of Odell Beckham, would need receivers. You could send Scotty Miller, Tyler Johnson. I mean, you could send them two guys, number two and three guys. So that makes a little sense. Brady wants it. Odell Beckham would want it in a second. And Odell Beckham is really expensive, but not too expensive for Tom Brady in Tampa if he reworks his contract. It's fascinating. As Joy talked earlier, it's one thing to get the star, but you're seeing it now with the Brooklyn Nets. Once you get a star, it's not that you get him. It's that this generation, and this is not a shot at millennials. They've watched all of us like me struggle. Millennials, like basketball players, have played in AAU. They didn't play on crappy high school teams. They, like, joined all-star teams. And they're like, whoa, I don't want to struggle. I would rather join better players. So the new generation of athletes, and I know in my generation it's, we had to walk uphill both ways. Yeah, but if we didn't have to, we wouldn't have. If Dad owned a Ferrari, we would have driven uphill both ways in a Ferrari. It would have been fine. So young basketball players are like, loyalty? Just go play for a better team. It make like Blake Griffin. Yeah, I'll go play for Brooklyn. Why wouldn't I? So it's very rare to get a Chris Paul who goes to these reclamation projects gladly and turns it around. He's okay doing that. But when you look at a lot of these football players out there, Odell Beckham's like, I want to win games. Of course he wants to win games. And so I think what Brady's doing in Tampa is fascinating. It shows you the power of the superstar in sports. That New England thought, you know, hey, we got a great system. But the minute New England lost Brady, Matt Stafford's like, I'll go anywhere except New England. Like, that's the power. You didn't lose just Tom Brady. You lost the power of recruiting from Tom Brady. He got Gronk out of retirement. This Odell Beckham thing, you know they've been on the phone. He got Antonio Brown. He asked him to get another running back. They got Leonard Fournette. It's the power of the star and the ability to get veteran guys, take a pay cut, come out of retirement, go get a ring. God, they are. Tampa is just filthy loaded weapons. It's incredible how many players they have. The fact they would even need Odell Beckham is, they're just, he's taunting Belichick.
Yeah, now. I don't know if it's a need thing. It's more of a want. The taunting thing makes perfect sense. I mean, what's better than Tom Brady getting Odell Beckham Jr., especially considering he's coming off of an injury? There's a little bit of doubt now surrounding Odell. You know, is he as good? Is his star value and all of that? I mean, Brady, he understands the value of content being relevant as well at this point in his career. So he is reinventing ways to stay at top of the conversation and at top of the league at the same time, which is brilliant.
It really is. Yeah, and Brady will probably take a pay cut.
Well, he's going to have to if he's like, it's not going to match all the talk of keeping everybody together and running it back. Why not? He wants to keep playing, so it doesn't matter if they spread his money out for a couple more years.
God, this is such a good relationship. I mean, it really fits. They had a GM that was a good drafter, especially on skill people, and they just couldn't get the quarterback right. And Brady's like, I'll be the quarterback. You guys do everything else right. I mean, Tampa for years has had great coaches. They've had great players. They can't get the quarterback right. And Brady smartly looks at it and goes, oh, I'll solve that. And now you see how much talent they have. So Schefter saying Odell Beckham to Bucks challenging, but Jeff Darlington reported Beckham to the Bucks last month. So that means it's out there. I love it. I think it's an all-star team, man. It's incredible. All right, good stuff. Hour number three coming up. Cremo Barber Shave Cream. Close, comfortable shave. It's what I use. Get it at Amazon or CREMOcompany.com. CremoCompany.com. Shampoos, pomades, they got it all.